23, USA versus Curtis Green. Hello, Mr. Anderson.
Good morning, Your Honor.
How are you?
All right. How are you? May it please the Court, I am Kent Anderson with the Federal Defender's Office of the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant Curtis Green. In this case, Mr. Green pled guilty to helping his co-defendant, Mr. Munson, steal several guns, and was then sentenced to the statutory maximum term of 120 months in prison. However, this sentence was procedurally unreasonable. The government concedes that the district court should not have applied the Section 2K2.1B5 enhancement for trafficking in firearms because there was insufficient evidence for it.
Under his arguments, is there any scenario where his guideline range would be less than 120 to 150 months, because it looks like he was sentenced at the lowest end of the lowest possible guideline range. And, it would be presumptively reasonable.
That I thought was correct until I was just looking at the pre-sentence report a few minutes ago, and as part of my argument, I decided I probably should ask for permission to submit supplemental briefs on the issue of the bail jumping that was part of his crime, which a couple of days ago this court ruled was it should not be included in criminal history. And this wasn't my case originally. I just reviewed it again a couple seconds ago and realized that was part of his criminal history, which would, if that was taken off, would put him in Category 5 rather than Category 6.
Well, then
but without, aside from that, Your Honor is correct.
Okay.
The our range would have been 120 to 150, so it's simply whether, because of the range being higher if you discount the statutory maximum, the court viewed the offense as being more serious, or at least the Sentencing Commission's view of the offense as being more serious than it was. And
well, how about if we give you 10 days?
That would be great, Your Honor.
For your brief, and give you, Ms. Rumbelow, 10 days thereafter to respond.
Okay. That would be wonderful,
Your
Honor.
An order will come out. We'll get an order out.
And aside from that, like I said, the argument is simply that because of that and that Mr. Green didn't have any thing to do with the sale of the guns, the judge viewed the offense as more serious than it actually was, and if she had viewed it accurately, may have been willing to go below the guidelines range. And thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning. Ms. Rumbelow, did you notice anything about the bail jumping?
You know, I was familiar with the Garrett decision. I didn't have an opportunity to read it yesterday because our Internet access was down. Wonderful government computers and Internet. But I did discuss it with my appellate coordinator, but only to the extent that it dealt with a procedural error. We did not talk at all about the bail jumping. So although I'm familiar that the opinion exists, and in that particular case, 1 point was assessed under criminal history points for bail jumping, I am not at all familiar with what the court's ultimate holding was and why that 1 point was not properly assessed for bail jumping in the Garrett case. But I do understand that in this particular case, Mr. Green did receive 2 points for a prior bail jumping conviction, and without those 2 points, he would indeed be in criminal history category 5. So I will read the Garrett decision when I get back to the office today, providing we have Internet access, and then I will file my response brief. But assuming that the Garrett decision does not ultimately affect Mr. Green's criminal history category, then he is criminal history category 6. He was only 26 years old when Judge Crabb sentenced him. And she specifically stated, I don't think we get records much more clear than this. She thought the statutory maximum was too low for the crime that Mr. Green committed with Mr. Munson. The government, as you know from our brief, disagrees wholeheartedly with Mr. Green's position that he only acted as a temporary lookout. He went with Mr. Munson to the FFL the day before the burglary, helped him scope it out, and we all know these crimes only succeed because they have help. It takes more than one person. And then he did act as a lookout. He knew that Mr. Munson tripped the burglar alarm during the commission of the offense. And then he traveled with him to Milwaukee, knowing that Mr. Munson had the full bag of a bag full of the stolen guns, and that he sold them in Milwaukee.
And didn't they get away with 18 guns?
They got away with 18, but Mr. Munson
and left
dropped
some in the parking lot.
Exactly. So their base offense level included an enhancement for more than 25 guns because they intended to steal more than 25.
It was a lot more guns than two people could use.
Exactly. Oh,
so,
exactly.
So there was some commercial intent behind all of it.
Exactly. That's the purpose of the burglary. I mean, you steal guns from an FFL to ultimately sell them on the streets illegitimately. And Mr. Green went along with that, and that's what Judge Crabb found. She said specifically, Mr. Green, you are not any less culpable than Mr. Munson. And she thought that the statutory maximum sentence was too low. So again, absent any effect that this bail jumping conviction may have, Judge Rovner is absolutely correct that as it stands now, Mr. Green did receive the lowest end of the sentencing guideline range, the lowest possible sentencing guideline range. So there's absolutely nothing unreasonable about his sentence. Does the court have any questions? No. Then I will prepare my response brief. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Mr. Anderson.
Just briefly, Your Honor, I'd point out that Mr. Green did leave in the middle of this fence, obviously too late to prevent himself from being involved enough to be guilty.
He left when the burglar alarm went off?
Not sure exactly. I think whether he left then or when he left when he realized that Mr. Munson was not doing this quite right and something was going to go wrong, but they had an argument and he took off. Then Mr. Munson got all the guns. Mr. Green didn't get anything, so he had no control over what was happening afterwards. Probably didn't expect Mr. Munson to keep them all.
He had one of the guns for a while, didn't he?
He had two of them, then Mr. Munson came and took them back from him. Who knows? Probably did expect Mr. Munson was going to do something with them, but did he expect he was going to sell them to a gang member or maybe a pawn shop that didn't ask questions, something? He probably didn't concern himself with it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Mr. Anderson, as always, and Ms. Rumbelow, as always. The case will be taken under advisement.